Hey guys, what up? It's Christina Hutchinson
and Corinne Fisher, and you're about to listen to a snippet from Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. It is only on Luminary if you want to listen to the whole thing. But on this episode, we talk to chef, celebrity chef, Justin Warner. We talk about traveling the world, meeting your love, what you do in a small town when you've also been on television.
Thoughtful ways to take a girl or guy out on a date at a restaurant, how to be more thoughtful with that. That's
and,
a good one.
Yeah, and how to pick the right restaurant, and it doesn't involve just going to Yelp.com. So enjoy this episode, and if you want to hear more, log on to luminarypodcasts.com, and you can subscribe for as little as $2.99 a month.
What's going on with the bread in restaurants? That's my number one question. I've heard a lot of folklore about it. Ooh. Who's touching it? Are they reusing it? Should I eat it again? Am I crazy for having eaten it last night?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think your internal gut is probably going to be the best judge of whether or not the restaurant is reusing bread. I did work in a place that reused the bread. It was horrifying, and I couldn't handle it. It was the worst part of my day every day, was putting the bread back in the thing. But it's very common practice. This will really gross you out. It's a pretty common practice during, when times are lean, to remelt and reheat butter.
Ew! That's even worse than the bread.
That's why it's worse crumbs in it.
Yeah, it's gross. They'll pass it through a chinois. Yeah, they'll pass it through a very fine mesh sieve.
Oh, shit, they do? Oh, that's gnarly, dude. Wait, what else?
Is this legal? Is this legal?
Of course not.
I don't think so.
Spill some more.
Scientifically, you know, if you bring it up to 212 for a certain amount of time, you're going to kill anything that could be in there anyway. So I know. No, that's no consolation. I know that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Turn us off from restaurants. We can't go in them anyway, so we might as well not want to.
Nice to talk about these ancient artifacts, restaurants.
Right, right.
Well, I ate at one last night. It was fun because, like, all my stuff came wrapped up. No, outside, and it was great. I mean, I was so hot, but the meal was excellent. It was fun.
I see. Intense. What'd you have? Just curious.
Mediterranean food. That's my favorite food. And I saw a Mediterranean restaurant that looked like it had outdoor seating, like even not during a pandemic. So they were actually knew how to do it. And I was correct.
Nice.
And there was pita but I think pita is easier to tell if it was reused because it's like it bends easier than a piece of bread. And it looked unused. And also I took the rest of it so they couldn't reuse mine.
Yeah.
I dumped it in my to-go bag. I said, I'm taking this with me.
Some bus boy is not going to meet his recycled bread quota because of you.
Oh, no.
Oh, Corinne, you're a bitch.
Is that a thing where just people stand over like, don't you can look at that bread, but don't you fucking eat it?
No, I don't know. Bread is generally something that you're allowed. Like, it's understood that there will be a significant amount of bread loss due to staff eating the bread. I can't tell you how many times, like, someone would leave their apron in the changing room and it's just, like, filled with bread because... Aww.
This is a sad story.
When I worked at Texas Roadhouse, I stole the bread and the butter. Oh,
those rolls are so good, though.
That cinnamon butter.
I know all about it.
On my face.
Yeah, that stuff. It'd be quite moisturizing, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it was. And then I licked it off.
So you seem like you're also like can appreciate like a fine meal, but also
trash
have some
food.
Trash in you.
Oh. Yeah.
What's like your favorite trash meal? Because my least favorite kind of person is the person who is like above fast food. I don't care if I had $5 billion, I would still intake fast food multiple times a year.
You and Carl had that in common.
I know, me and Carl did have
rest
that in
his
common.
Soul. Rest, I miss that guy.
Us too.
Well, you know, people that can't like quote unquote stoop, you know, like that's elitist, you know, like that's insane. Yes. Food is food. And sometimes that's all people can afford, or sometimes that's all the time you have because you're too busy doing something else.
Or also, sometimes it's just delicious.
Yes,
McDonald's
exactly.
Fries. I mean, give me a fry that's better and I'll gladly admit it, but I haven't had it yet.
Does not exist.
Yeah. So I like food that rolls. Anything that has been prepared to roll on one of those rolly grills, you know?
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
you would have loved the place I went to last night. They had Rolly Grills portable ones for your table. I don't eat meat, but if you ordered meat.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. Wait, so do you get those things at 7-Eleven? Because they have them.
You know it. Yeah, you know it. But here's another reason I moved to west of the Mississippi is east of the Mississippi. It's very hard to find the jalapeno cream cheese taquito. And that's,
You're
in my opinion, the pinnacle of 7-Eleven taquitos. Mm-hmm, thank you very much. West of the Mississippi, you can get them pretty much anywhere. And generally, when I have to fly to California, I would bring them back to New York and whatnot.
Well, I hope a representative from 7-Eleven is listening because they should send you a case on dry ice.
It's only fair.
Well, wouldn't it be nice? Well, I've actually, you want to know something, weird coincidence. I tracked down the company that makes it for 7-Eleven, and it's actually called Ruiz Foods, just like Carl. It was a magical moment. Yeah, it was a magical moment.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
Have you ever incorporated, you don't have to answer this question if you don't want to, you can just say pass. Have you ever incorporated food in your sex life?
Yeah, I'm really, I think one of my favorite movies probably of all time, actually. It is.
If it's this Japanese or this Asian egg thing that you're going to talk about again, is this what we're bringing up?
You know it, pal. The,
yes. What are you talking about?
This is going back to how we met on the snack time set where he kept talking about this like yolk scene and then he sent it to me and I was like, oh. It was like, you're sick in the head, Justin.
Wait, you put a yolk in your pussy?
No, it's lovely. No. What is the movie called?
It's called Tampopo. It's named after.
Right, that's right. I knew the title even made me laugh because I'm 7 years old. You can go on to describe it, but it's like a sexual yolk scene. Like, I mean, basically choreographed beautifully. Ooh. But.
They're this couple that is like fantastically in love with each other and fantastically in love with food are passing an egg yolk back and forth between each other's mouth. And then as the music crescendos and the like rapture within this woman builds up, the egg yolk busts and dribbles out of her mouth. I know.
I'm wet. Wow. That sounds nice, actually. They did a great job.
I just kept thinking of like Guy Fieri though, like, cause he hates eggs so much. Like he knows about this scene.
That would make him gag. I have not shown him that, but he'd probably kick me off set. He'd be like, Warner, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. There are so many people who hate eggs. Like eggs are one of my absolute favorite foods.
I love eggs, but if I think about what they are too long, I can turn myself off to them very quickly. So I just, you know, shove that down in a hole.
That's true.
So have you done a sexual yolk scene personally?
Not the yolk scene. You know, it's very hard to find a willing partner for that sort of thing. Because you got to be really in it. Like, it's one thing to eat a little tiny quail egg yolk, but like an entire chicken yolk is kind of a mouthful.
Yeah. Give them one of your own mouthfuls. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, anyway, I've also noticed that a lot of people have like very strange size, texture, mouth issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, that's just tough. But yeah, I don't know. I'm sure I've fooled around with like, you know, whipped cream once in a while. Yeah. The problem is most of the time when you're engaging with food stuff sexually, it's always sweet stuff. And I really don't have a sweet tooth. Right. You know, throw some chicken skin on a body part, you know?
Well, you could like do something that's not super, super sweet, like peanut butter. So it's because I don't like super sweet.
But it's like peanut butter sexy. Food. I feel like the it's too fecal.
If it's between you and your dog.
It's too fecal?
Yeah, there's something weird about the paste and coloration.
Well, you wouldn't put it on your butthole. I mean, you could actually, but that's weird.
I mean, it's much lighter than poop. Any poop I've seen.
I see. I don't know.
Not to make everyone horny, but.
Yeah, it's just weird. I don't know. It just seems weird to me. So it was like a thing of the past, you know, and I was like really like exploring sexuality, you know, like when I was like 17 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now, like, you know, married, it's just, you know, put on the Netflix and go to bed. Pass out.
You haven't even been married that long.
I'm just kidding.
Wait, okay, so how did the transition from like waiter to kitchen to TV, like how did they pluck you to be on TV? That sounds like a rude word.
No, it's fine. I was plucked.
Who called in sick that day?
I was the replacement eyebrow. Just plucked. Anyway, let's see. I was dating an actress at the time, and she was 11 years older than I was, which is like scandalous, but very fun for me.
Was she famous?
I don't know that I'd go that far, but she's been in some famous productions, I think.
Okay.
But
I'm Googling later.
Yeah. Okay, go for it. Anyway, she would get casting calls, and we were working in a restaurant, you know, same pirate ship. So we like knew the ins and outs of each other what made us tick, you know? Yeah. And so this show was to build a restaurant in 24 hours. And so we had concepts in our mind. Cool. Every person who works in a restaurant is like, you know what would make this place better?
Right.
Anyway, yeah, that's always welcomed, by the way, from a management perspective. anyway, so we like, we're like half drunk and went in there to try out for it. And I'll never forget, it was like, I want to say Professor Tom's in like East Village or something like
that. Oh yeah, I love that place.
And they interviewed us and they're like, well, you guys are both waiters. Who's going to cook? And I was like, how hard could it be? You know, in like full-fledged 26-year-old arrogance. And then they were like,
that 26-year-old arrogance gets you places though. It's true. I always tell gals, I'm like, just like go into something like a straight white guy, because it's like not even in a hacker hateful way, but like you have to try to do things that are above what you think you're capable of. Otherwise you'll never rise to the occasion.
Boom. And so they were like, this kid is terrible.
Except for in this story.
And so anyway, we got on the show. And we made this restaurant, and we were up against this couple that had been together longer than we had and didn't have the weird age difference. And they had been cooking for far more time. But anyway, we ended up like annihilating them.
Nice.
And so we won the show and we got money. And then I got a very big head about my like quote unquote ability to cook.
Well, reality, that was your first try and you won.
Yeah, I know. That feels nice. Then I got kind of addicted to that. And then they gave me a call back and they said, hey, do you want to be on Food Network Star? And so if you're not familiar with the premise, it's like, you're basically, it's a competition show, but you're rated on your presentation and also your food. So I was kind of like built for this, right? Having been a waiter for so long, it was just a matter of, can I outcook these other people as well? And so anyway, I ended up winning that, which was kind of amazing for me because it was by America's popular like vote. And it felt very weird to be like selected by America to be good at something.
You were beloved, Justin.
Yeah, I guess so. Really what I think it was is that I was polarizing and that more people liked the polarization than didn't like the polarization.
Mm-hmm. There's as much struggle in this story as the fucking Garth Brooks biography that I watched. Docu-series. AKA no struggle. He went to Nashville one time. He had a meeting that didn't go well. He drove back. Next time he drove back, he's Garth Brooks.
A star, yeah. Oh.
I summarized it for everyone.
Yeah. Wow. I'm very impressed. Garth Brooks.
I do have an unrelated question because I noticed the background of your Zoom, which the listeners cannot see, is the cover of your book. But when you move your head, sometimes your actual background peeks through. Are you sitting in front of a Christmas tree?
Yeah. I'll bring it in.
Oh, wow. Good eye, Christina.
Yeah.
Is that a South Dakota thing?
No, it's just kind of in that grandma gave it to us. So we can't get rid of it. And it like doesn't readily fit in a closet, so I just put it in this room that I use for like playing video games and being a nerd and like putting dumb stuff like toys around. You know, there has to be like a zone for me to just
man cave, if you will.
Or I like to call it a lair.
Nerd lair. Dork lair.
Cave sounds like I'm going to go bludgeon something. Lair sounds like I'm like conspiring,
cooking something up.
Maniacal laugh.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed that clip from our Guys We Fucked interview with celebrity chef and author Justin Warner. To hear the whole thing and to hear more episodes of Guys We Fucked and from podcasts that are only on Luminary from the minds of Trevor Noah, Roxane Gay, Michael Rapaport, and more, go to luminarypodcasts.com, where subscriptions start as little as $2.99 a month.